The three women that will be speaking this morning are Patrizia Calvi from Italy, Usha Shah, and she's from Nairobi, and Deepa Padi, who is from Orissa in India. And I will introduce each of them before they speak. So the first speaker that we have this morning is Patrizia Calvi. Patrizia joined the Theosophical Society when she was 20 years old. She joined it in Italy. She's been a full-time volunteer at the TS headquarters in Italy since 1995 and is especially active in the work of the Theosophical Order of Service. She's the president of the Vicenza Theosophical Group since 2004, and she currently supervises the editorial staff for Rivista Italiana di Teosofia. So that's the national journal of the Theosophical Society in Italy. And she also works as a translator for the magazine while also being on the editorial committee for the Italian TPH. She's a very, very busy woman. The title of her talk will be On the Gift of Service.
There are two Italian words I like. Dono, gift, and dare, to give. Both of them derive from an Indo-European root meaning what is given or received without anything in return, whether material or spiritual. When we give in this deeper sense, we give our time, energy, emotions, knowledge, and skills. There is a spontaneous movement of the heart in which we project ourselves beyond the personal self. Such a gesture results in social, karmic, and spiritual bonds. When we accept such an offering, we accept something from the giver's essence. The sense of giving goes beyond the kind of material giving that occurs in a mere economic transaction. It requires our time, so increasingly precious, our energy, our feelings. Such a free act of giving brings to mind the archetypal image of the tree, which is symbol of infinite life and never-ending wisdom. Trees give shelter, shade, flowers and fruits, the warmth of the fire, the poetry of falling leaves, and the music of chirping birds. Trees also convey a great evocative and symbolic power. If we watch trees, it looks as if they had open arms to grant refuge and helpfulness aimed at reciprocity or alliance. Their generosity is inspiring and make the best part of ourselves arise, as if we wore a party dress and had a smile so immensely precious as timeless things are. Smiles have no cost and predisposes us to a certain kind of relational interaction. Smiles are said to favor the same kind of response from whoever we enter in contact with, thanks to an almost irresistible empathy force. Such attitude leads us to also redefine our social patterns and set them again according to a virtuous net, which is not virtual though, a net in which, as Rifkin says in The Empathic Civilization, we can cooperate, participate, share, feel responsible and integrated, set an example of renewal in the current phase of defining new humanism. I'm sure that each one of us has experienced a new atmosphere, a breath of fresh air on this old planet. By getting in touch with the others, one can easily sense that mankind's consciousness has made a great leap forward despite the current crisis. There is a stronger need for collaboration, social justice, networking, as well as for spreading and circulating feelings and ideas.
If we wish to be in harmony with our planet and the whole of the universe, we need to go beyond those barriers and restrictions that are part of obsolete schemes. As above, so below. This is symbolically represented by the virtual World Wide Web, for it expresses the deep wordless need to be as one and to share the evolutionary path. This wouldn't have been possible if mankind hadn't sensed all these on an archetypal plane, as Blavatsky stated in the Abridgment to the Secret Doctrine. Quotation. Occultism teaches that no form can be given to anything, either by nature or by mind, whose ideal type does not already exist on the subjective plane. More than this, that no such form or shape can possibly enter man's consciousness or evolve in his imagination, which does not exist in prototype, at least as an approximation. Whereas giving is a possibility for all of us in any situation, I underline in any situation, the ability of giving and offering our help is strictly linked to our karma and to that of the environment in which we act. Moreover, that ability is connected to Dharma. The voice of silence points out a very defined path by claiming, "Hast thou complied with all the rules, O thou of Ophtilopes? Hast thou attuned thy heart and mind to the great mind and heart of all mankind? For as the sacred river's roaring voice, whereby all nature's sounds are echoed back, so must the heart of him who in the stream would enter, thrill in response to every sigh and thought of all that lives and breathes. The universe will gain its own perfection only if all its parts fulfill their own innate functions. In order to fulfill our own Dharma and to be of service at best, it is equally fundamental to find out our essential nature and be in harmony with it, no matter how difficult it is to sense that calling and how attractive and rewarding our paths seem to be. In any case, we should not follow those other paths, for there is no real liberation except through our own inner path, which is only ours and nobody else's. Now, here is a little story that will illustrate this concept of giving and receiving in harmony with our essential inner nature. Once upon a time, there was a sage monk who lived in a remote Asian region. He was famous for owning nothing but an old bowl. One day, he was invited to the royal palace because the princess, reigning over their land, wanted to pay homage to him. The monk arrived at the palace with his young disciple. After receiving them, the princess presented the monk with a wonderful golden bowl as a sign of respect and homage. The monk unflappably received this gift, then put it into his robe and took his leave. On the way back home, his beloved disciple was scandalized and continuously criticized him for accepting such a gift with a great value. It will endanger the sage's reputation, the young disciple said, since the monk was known as somebody detached from material things, somebody owning just the essential to survive. The monk calmly let him talk. Suddenly, a thief jumped out from behind the bush and threatened them
to kill them unless he was given their belongings. As calmly as before, the old sage gave him the golden bowl, so the thief hurried off with it. "Now," said the monk to his disciple, "by accepting that gift, I've made the free people happy. I mean, the princess, the thief, and you." The mountain beyond which lies our higher self can be crossed by digging a tunnel under it. In the cold and the dark, we can learn perseverance, self-reliance, and one-pointedness. We can learn how to bear loneliness and to remain focused on our aim, even though we cannot see our final destination. We can also cross the mountain by ascending it. This takes longer, but such an experience attracts all those who strive to walk along that path with others. There will always be more and more people keen on doing it. Traveling together, we can share the breathtaking view from the top of the mountain, the dangerous descent, the snow and cold, hunger and thirst. We will also share food and water, the sun, the beauties of nature surrounding us, and the joy of being together. Among the people we meet, there will certainly be those who, by affinity, has already shared the work of service with us in earlier times. Some very special beings we meet along the path will help us to understand our voyage at a deeper level and its purpose on this plane of consciousness. What a privilege it is, dear friends, to work with those brothers and sisters who have the highest ideas and a truly fraternal, far-sighted vision. Through their help, we will be able to see the path even when it is hidden by the darkest overgrown vegetation. Among those exceptional beings, I would like to mention Mr. Abdul Sattar Edhi, who is not well known in the West. He was born in India in 1928, but he was forced to flee his hometown and relocate to Karachi in 1947. He has dedicated his life to aiding the poor, and over the last 60 years, he has single-handedly changed the face of welfare in Pakistan. He is regarded as a guardian for the poor, and his foundation is the largest welfare organization in the country. Edhi is highly revered in Pakistan, and the Prime Minister of Pakistan has recommended him for a Nobel Peace Prize, but he has remained a simple and humble man. I suggest reading his history, so touching and inspiring. Edhi's motto is, "No religion is higher than humanity." Wonderful, isn't it? There's a little thing we can easily do every day for the sake of service. I mean, the simple act of listening, the ability of giving our attention. Some of you have undoubtedly read some of those extraordinary short stories of the so famous Russian writer Anton Chekhov. In one of them, Misery, Chekhov depicts the desperate need of a coach driver, Iona Potapov, to talk about his beloved son, whom he has just lost. Potapov tries to express his grief to one customer after another as he drives them across the city, but he is met by a wall of indifference, irritability, and even cruelty. In the end, he relates his misery to his mayor, and unlike all the others, she listens. Or, as it may seem to Iona, she appears to listen to him. His despair may finally be alleviated.
Chekhov is a master at insightful studies on human behavior. And even though his stories were written over a century ago, they are timeless classics in that the moral value can still be carried out into our own present lives. The need for sharing is a primary need for human beings. There can neither be faith, nor transformation, nor liberation without such an exchange. Sympathetic listening is a real act of love, a distinctive attitude that let us be recognized as true theosophists. A very simple example of the deeply human impulse to share was encountered before the 10th World Congress of the Theosophical Society that took place in Rome in 2010. On that occasion, we decided to set up a bazaar to raise funds for certain Theosophical Order of Service projects abroad. To that end, we made a plea through the Italian Theosophical Society's official magazine, Rivista Italiana di Teosofia, under the heading, Giving is Better Than Receiving. We invited anyone who so wished to create artistic items to be put on sale in the bazaar. The reaction was surprising, even overwhelming. Many, many, many people enthusiastically joined in, as well as sending us an absolutely amazing number and variety of handmade artistic creations. They thanked us for giving them the opportunity to help. They thanked us for giving them the opportunity to help. Instead of having several tables of items to sell, we had a large conference room full. We raised many thousands of euros. Diana knows. In this way, we discovered the joy human beings experience in giving. In being helpful and feeling part of a wider endeavor. We understood that we all have treasure hidden within, and sometimes just need the opportunity to discover it. At the World Congress in Rome, we found that people's heart contained abundant generosity. They were just waiting for a channel of expression. This is the charity, but it is not really a nice photo. Okay, picture. I'm sure that my colleagues, Deepa and Usha, on the platform here today after me, have had similar experiences in their own circles of service. This is something to which we all need to pay more attention. We should find out our own talents and potential to realize on a particular field, because only this way our light can fully shine. Our enthusiasm will be expressed only if we are in harmony with ourselves. Only then, love will fully resonate in ourselves as in the whole. Dear friends, dogmas and conformism weaken our conscious choice-making process and prevent us from being ourselves. Yet, beauty is everywhere. If we want to find it, we need to grow our inner garden and distinguish the soundless voice that shows us the path towards service and teaches us to live for the other rather than for ourselves. Let our action be realized for the sake of all beings, in the name of that right action that contributes to the true evolution of the whole, ennobling all our efforts and inspiring those who are with us. As the light on the path says, let's hear the song of life. Let's learn from it that we are part of the harmony. Let's always follow the impulse to our holiest self with a smile. As Saint Vincent de Paul used it to say, it is not enough to give soap and bread. This the rich can do. You are the servant of the poor, always smiling and good-humored. They are your masters, terribly sensitive and exacting masters, you will see. And the uglier and the dirtier they will be, the more unjust and insulting, the more love you must give them. It is only for your love alone that the poor will forgive you the bread you give to them. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Usha Shah. Usha was born in India and raised in Kenya. As a teacher in Nairobi, she taught for 20 years before accepting a position in the Hindu Council of Kenya. She eventually became chairperson for this body and was privileged to participate in the discussions for Kenya's new constitution. In 1996, she was awarded the Member of the British Empire Medal for her work in the Asian community. So we have an MBE present among us. She presently chairs the Karuna Charitable Trust and is the coordinator for the TOS in Nairobi. The title of her talk is Empower a Woman and We Empower the Universe.
Namaste. I bow to the divine that resides within each one of you. If we look at our world today, we are dismayed to see how our world has changed. We are dismayed to see that humans have systematically damaged our earth so much that our Mother Earth cries in despair. We call the Earth Mother. It's curious how humans refer to the Earth as Mother. It is characteristic of human beings that they often regard with reference all objects, both living and non-living, from which they derive benefit. Animals are different. Bees protect their young ones till they can look after themselves. Birds look after their young ones till they learn how to fly. But human beings, women, never stop being mothers. And because they don't stop being mothers, they wash, they iron, they cook, they clean and do everything for their children, even after the children have reached 50, 60 or whatever. So, the mother is an object of reverence. For animals and birds, this reverence is not there. Once these fledglings and the young ones are independent, they are left. But for a mother, this dependence the children have turns into reverence and respect. So we respect our mothers and also fathers, because fathers are instrumental in making us come into the world. As this, and especially in India and in American society, I've seen it, and in many other societies, the concept of mother worship becomes more and more sublime and broader. So they, human beings, realize that they owe a debt to the rivers, so they call it Ganga Mata. They owe it to the water, so they call it the mother. The cow gives us milk in India. That is why we call it Gomata. Mata meaning mother. So this reverence is then transferred to our land, our nation, and we become patriotic. Sorry to say that this reverence has been eroded through the ages, through the last centuries. We have abused our privileges given to us. We have made our Mother Earth cry in despair. We have looted and plundered our Mother Earth's resources. We have destroyed forests, animals, animal kingdom, bird kingdom, and so on. Our greed for material satisfaction and personal avarice has resulted in many animals, birds, trees, fauna disappear from this earth. This environment has been mercilessly used. The earth has more than its share of deep-rooted misery for her children. As millions live in abject poverty, in hopeless circumstances, away from godliness and cleanliness because of human selfishness. So the question is, who will save our universe and its inhabitants? Rulers who are at the helm of the nations, driven by selfish ambition, greed, fear, and personal gratification? We have not been able to look after our universe and nurture it in the last centuries. Usually, we find men, no offense meant, present company excluded. We find men at the helm of the nations. But if women were empowered to join them, the universe will be saved, will be nurtured, and will be healed. A woman who is a mother knows what it is to create in her womb, care for the young ones, for she looks after it, she cares for it, and she knows the sublime bliss at the time of birth, long after the pangs of labor have gone. Men are so unfortunate. You guys are so unlucky, because you will never, never know the joy and the bliss you get when you produce a baby. But we women carry this image, this sense of bliss in our minds for a long time to come. The labor pains are forgotten, but this sense of unity with the universe at the time of the birth clings to a woman. And therefore, she is always so affectionate, so loving, and she nurtures her family, the whole family, because of that love. It is said that if a woman transferred this love from her own brood to the rest of the world would become really a very happy place. What do I mean? Let's say as a mother, my child is coming home and I have got 4 biscuits. And he comes with, or she comes with, I should say she, na? he comes with 2 friends. So I will leave 1 biscuit for my own son or my own daughter and then give 1, 1, 1. But if, as a mother, a woman treats everybody with the same eye, same affection, same love that she showers on her own, she will become a saint and pass on this saintliness to others. But we don't. I mean, we are selfish in our love as well. Should be, I mean, doesn't matter. in Hinduism, when it's learned that a woman has You know, she's expecting a baby. Then she's advised to read good books. And she's advised to listen to religious discourses, ethical stories, moral stories, so that the baby and the soul within absorbs some of the nice things, the ethical and moral issues, whilst in the womb. I think today's generation, which is very violent, the moms must be looking at TV programs with dam, 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 dam. And therefore, we have produced a violent generation. But if we were to nurture the baby from within, and once it comes out, with love, selflessness, non-violence, give the brood good values of life, we will have a very good society. In today's world, religion plays a significant role, as it should. But does it? Religion never, ever advocates immorality, violence, corruption, destruction, wars, etc. It is the people at the helm who misinterpret the sacred writings because of their own selfish and usually male ego. Look at all the religions, all the heads, most of the heads are men. Full stop. Thus, blind faith misleads the follower to commit antisocial deeds, and to change the thinking of the people requires a massive revolution led by ethical and moral people. An ideal mother can do a lot to instill good values in her children and family. She can bring forth citizens who are honest and diligent, who pay their taxes. Mr. Obama will be very happy to hear this. Pay their taxes, pay all their bills on time, never tell lies, and they never worry about any other person's caste, color, creed, or religion. Imagine such a society where such people have been raised by women with a little help from men. Such a society. You men are so important to us women, I'm telling you. So stay there. This change in the mindset of the people can only come around from an honest society. This change in the mental set of the people around can only be changed through women. Not any women, but women who are educated, able to hold important positions in all walks of life, and chiefly through mothers who raise good human beings. So the onus of the society does rest on the women. To be a superhuman being is not being a VIP. It's to have a clean heart. A person with a clean heart is a VIP for me. Women, only with the help of men whose feminine aspect, whose inner woman is fully integrated into their natures, can produce such superhuman beings. Imagine a place where there are such upright people, no jails, no policemen, no courts, no judges. Wow, utopia, heaven on earth. But only women can do it. With the help of the men, of course. We talk about all this, but we never take any steps to achieve it. When a good person is hurt, each other person in the universe must hurt along that person. We do not. We look at the suffering humanity, the starving population. We look at the undernourished children, battle-worn women and children, millions of refugees. We look at the television, we are having our food, we stop, say, oh my God, how horrible, how bad. And the image fades and you go back to eating. That's what we do. That's what, with our eyes stricken with horror, hands on our heart, and then 10 minutes later, we continue with our life as it is. If we could have 40% of the total population prepared to do something, at least a little of all these horrors can be diminished. While men are trying to find their feminine nature, we have already found our masculine nature, we meaning women. I think we need free and strong thinking women to take responsibility for the universe along with their families, societies, nations, and continents. With one united front, women along with the men folk from the world can save the universe. There are laws in many countries about equality between men and women, but sad to say, these are seldom put into practice. Women have successfully entered all fields of, all fields of all professions. Then when it comes to pay, privileges, timings, women are always short-charged. In Kenya, women till the farms, produce, but when the money comes, it's the men who take charge of the money and decide how it should be spent. Usually, 60% of it goes to alcohol. Law and religion state that women do have equal rights, but it is, in reality, it is only men, only women who have constrictions and conditions as to what to wear, what to do, what to say. Only we, women, men have nothing to do with it. Women in the households also, I told this story to a few of my friends, that even in the household, men is always dominating. You know, I have been married for 51 years to the same man. And he has a habit of, you know, telling me to do this, do that. And one day, you know, I for 40 years I did it. You know, he'll say. But then came a day, I said, what does he think he's doing? I come back from my job and he comes back from his work and then he tells me, remove this glass. So I did it. But then came a day when I said, Shanti, that's him, my lord and master. I said, Shanti, does this glass bother you? So he said, no. So I said, it doesn't bother me either. But it's only women who have constrictions. What to wear, what not to wear, show your face, don't show your face, don't cut your hair, you look nice. And I have, but if women are to be blamed, not men. If we take all this and bear it, they are going to rule over it and lord over it. I mean, you will see some of the work that we are doing in Kenya. And you'll see some of the hard-working women as well. They really work hard. Every nation has to accept the fact that women are one asset which have not been utilized. But if utilized, it will benefit the nation to progress. Women as mothers, wives, sisters, workers, professionals, because why? Because of their mindset and the qualities they bring to their fields. Their innate compassion. You don't find many murderesses. You find many murderers. You don't find many female killers. You know, you find many male killers. But humanness, tolerance, physical strength. You know, we women don't become very tired. We keep on doing work till 12 in the midnight and get up at 6 in the morning, and we are still not tired. The man comes back from the office, and at 5 o'clock he's tired, takes his beer and sits down. So, the day when America has a woman president, I will say America has progressed. Till then. Look at India. India had a woman president and a prime minister, Sri Lanka, Israel. America, what's wrong with you? The world is crying for help. Women can give this help. Till then, in my opinion, we can. What can we do? We can make female education compulsory at all levels, taking into account the aptitude of the women who are doing it. By giving equal status to women in all spheres of life, so I can tell Shanti, take that glass away. giving special recognition to women as homemakers, mothers, and social representatives, giving men an insight as to the importance of women in their lives and their support in their lives. All this can be done. But what about women? What about us, ourselves? We can help heal the universe, but are we up to the task of taking up the challenge? Yes, only if we consider ourselves to be individuals with freedom to think, say, worship, and make our own lives. If we take up challenges of life and don't whine about it and learn how to change the bulb, or how to change the fuse, or how to repair a puncture. I don't know how to do it. Understand that men and women are equal, but they have different spheres of work, and that they garner respect through their maternal instincts and womanly attributes. Promote the belief that morality and ethics are best propagated by women, but that the men in their lives are equally responsible to do the same by nurturing their families, family and society. Oppose strongly the negative female images in religion by calling them seductresses, destroyers of family life, etc. I think Eve did the greatest kindness to humanity, because if she had not eaten the apple, we wouldn't be here. Oppose that we cannot hold high religious posts, or that we should not read scriptures. In Hindu religion, it is said, and deliver sermons. Except that we can always depend on ourselves without any assistance from anyone, if there is such a circumstance. A woman is the creator, nourisher, and transformer, a trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. A woman makes a home where members are taken care of. And lastly, I'm not going to read the rest of it, we must empower ourselves. I like what Mary Eugenia Charles, Prime Minister of Commonwealth of Dominica, said. men have the grand vision and they pass it on to somebody else, like women or wives or whatever, to put into practice. Women follow the details more. They want to know that it is being put into practice. And so affirm loudly, all of us, we can heal the universe. Only women, and a bit, I don't mind gentlemen joining in. We women can heal the universe. Thank you. Sorry, these were, you can see these are some of the activities we women are doing in Nairobi. And they're the hardworking women, and I'll finish with that. Thank you so much.
Our final speaker is Deepa Patti. Deepa was born into a theosophical family. Her father actually was the founding president of the Utkal Theosophical Federation in Orissa, India. Deepa herself joined the Theosophical Society in 1994 and eventually joined the Theosophical Order of Service in 2006. She began her work in the Odisha Educational Service in 1974 and retired in 2009. And in 2007, she received her doctorate of literature in philosophy. That is correct, right? Okay, yeah, because it's not a PhD, it's a doctorate of literature. For her research titled Live and Let Live, An Analytical Approach to Holistic Ethics. Deepa is currently the Vice President of the Theosophical Order of Service for the Odisha region and President of the TOS Mahabharat Group. The title of her talk is Look Within and Reach Out.
The theme of the convention, Be the Change, Service and Transformational Practices, is extremely powerful and reminds me of the great soul of India, Mahatma Gandhi, who said, be the change that you wish to see in the world. If we wish to remove gender inequality, if we want to stop environmental degradation, if we want to see the destitute women and girls settle in their lives, we must be the instruments of that change. To be powerful instruments, we must first touch the spark deep within. Reaching within, we find everything in abundance. Love, unlimited. Power, unlimited. And all the capacities we need. This is true spiritual empowerment, enabling us to reach out selflessly to a wider world. In 2008, I was blessed with a spontaneous experience of connectedness with the wider world that I would like to share with you. My elder son passed away at the age of 34. My husband and I were very much attached to him. At the moment of his passing away, I seemed to be transported from my small I world to a much larger we world, where there is vastly more pain and suffering. I found myself calmly informing the doctor that we would like to donate our son's eyes to two blind persons who could see this beautiful world, which our son could no longer see. I was not my usual self with a small S. I experienced a radical shift in perspective. I was filled with a feeling of unconditional love and empathy for those who were less fortunate than my family. I felt a powerful sense of connection to others. I realize now that it was the deep pain of the loss of our son that made me inward and was the catalyst for this shift. My sense of self was utterly changed. From that time on, I have been aware of the difference between emotions and feelings. Emotions are ego-based and are only transient external phenomena. Feelings are soul-based. When we have deep feelings of empathy for others, we cannot just walk away without helping them. We know that spirituality and service are inseparable. How blessed we are in the Theosophical Society to be exposed to transformational practices and touched by uplifting experiences that result in a lasting change in the notion of self. Everything remains the same, only false notions of self are removed. We see the self in its true perspective, and this changes how we respond in the community and in the world. The Theosophical Order of Service has provided for me an outlet for the empathy and connectedness I feel with others in pain. There are countless excellent national and international non-governmental organizations rendering humanitarian services. What I find unique about the Theosophical Order of Service is its roots in a profound philosophy of universal principles. Service here is based on an order that is theosophical or spiritual. Theos is Brahman, which is derived from the Sanskrit root bruh, which means the motion of expansion from within outwardly. So, service here means giving unconditionally to the whole from within. Therefore, before we serve the world, we must look within to experience the essence of the self, the beingness shared by all beings. The TOS offers opportunities for three linked transformational practices: knowledge, jnana, devotion, bhakti, and service, karma, which are related to head, heart, and hand. Knowledge here is the knowledge of the self, which is related to the head, that is buddhi or intelligence, devotion or feelings of love and empathy is related to heart, where the transformation of self takes place. Service or karma is related to hands, which are extended out to reach the unreached. However, these three are not in exclusion of each other. There is no contradiction between them, as all three are essential requirements for experiencing the self. The wonderful thing about service, whether undertaken within a group context, such as the TOS, or in our private lives, is that it is above all a joyful, loving experience. In joy and love, each one of us can bring about small changes that can turn out to be great changes. Sometimes, a seemingly insignificant act can have tremendous consequences, both inner and outer. I said at the beginning of this talk that if we wish to remove gender inequality, stop violence towards women, and environmental degradation, we must be the instruments of that change. I will now share some photos. I'll now share some photos that illustrate what we are doing in a small way along these lines in Bhubaneswar, the capital city of the state of Odisha in East India. Theosophy is at the root of all our endeavors. We try to incorporate it into our projects, in the form of both teachings and practice. This is Theosophical Laureate of Service, Mahabharat Group, Bhubaneswar, Odisha, India, unleashing a fulfilling journey to a better life. Contributing our bit to create a better world. Our group is actively engaged in 7 areas: education, health, environmental protection, rehabilitation of disabled people, care for senior citizens below poverty line, women empowerment, awareness campaign to stop violence against women. As we have limited time today, I would like to focus on only 3 areas of our services: women empowerment, awareness campaign to stop violence against women, and Besan Selfless Service Award. Women empowerment. When women are empowered, whole family benefits, and these benefits often have ripple effects to future generations. Under this project, we take into account 4 objectives: educational empowerment, social empowerment, spiritual empowerment, and economic empowerment. Educational empowerment. Women's literacy rates are significantly lower than men's in most developing countries, particularly in India. Education is obviously important for everyone, but more so and significant for girls and women. It helps them to know their rights and to gain confidence to claim them. For this matter, we are individually sponsoring 6 orphan girls from a children's home in Bhubaneswar for their education. We promote them in their artistic and cultural activities as well. You will be happy to know, and I would like to mention also that here, these children whom we are sponsoring, they were here in Lombard, Chicago. Lombard is in Chicago, isn't it? Lombard, just a week ago, to perform a cultural program in an international convention like this, and that was highly appreciated. Their trip was partially sponsored by our members. Social empowerment. Social empowerment is based on gender equality that we know. We educate people, both male and female, in slum areas on gender equality, which is also the root cause of violence against women, domestic and outside. Violated women and girls are given legal and social advice. Pre- and post-marital counseling will also be available shortly. In September, we are going to organize a training program for the counselors on the methodology of counseling. They must know what is the methodology of counseling. Then, spiritual empowerment. Spiritual empowerment, the most powerful empowerment, I would say, is the spiritual empowerment, because it gives inner strength to face the challenges of life which are beyond our control. We organize spiritual meetings, seminars, and workshops on self-development and theosophical principles, particularly for young girls. We are planning to organize such workshops in various educational institutions as well. Economic empowerment. More women than men live in poverty. Economic disparities persist partly because much of the unpaid work within families and communities fall on the shoulders of women, and because they face discriminations in the economic sphere. In interest of time, let me highlight some of the work that our group is doing around the area of economic employment in the slides that follow. Women of Mochisai, that's a slum, attending a vocational training program on how to make incense sticks, soaps, and detergents. Our national director, Brother Bhattacharya, is also seen in the picture. Home nursing training being imparted to unemployed women. food and beverage assistant training program for unemployed slum youth. Next is awareness campaign to stop violence against women. Violence against women had never been so rampant as it is now in India. You might have heard of the brutal gang rape and murder of 20-year-old lady in Delhi, which exposed the vulnerability of women of all strata in the society. Having been disturbed by the shocking statistics of the recent cases of violence against women, TOA's Mahabharat Guru Bhubaneswar launched a first-of-its-kind effort working for the cause, care, and concern of sexually abused and abandoned women. Who is she? Maybe a daughter of a poor parent, maybe sold out by her own relatives, maybe left out by her loving ones in large, maybe a victim of false promises. What happens to her? Endless torture, an empty belly, a strangled soul, a hopeless life, a dark future, and she gets her name, a destitute woman, left with agonies and pain. Through a series of seminars and workshops on violence against women, the TOS Mahabharat Group Bhubaneswar invests its hearts and minds in humanity to send a strong appeal to the masses to stop violence against women. Ladies seen in the white and red saris are the victims of domestic violence and sexual abuse. They are not acceptable to their families because of the stigma attached to them. They stay in Mission Ashra, a destitute home. They are standing with the candles of hope to receive the governor of Odisha for the project launching program. Our effort is directed to bringing them back into the mainstream and help them re-assimilate in the society. Governor of Odisha launching the project changed the mindset to stop violence against women. Governor of Odisha administering oath to hundreds of people to help stop violence against women. Mayor of Bhubaneswar unveiled the first billboard and dedicated it to the people of Odisha. The caption in the billboard is written in the local language, which may be translated into English as, "From the womb to tomb, woman is not safe. Give her rights she deserves for honor and dignity." We raise funds locally by selling the calendars that are displayed here also in the TOS Bazaar and set up billboards at city landmarks as part of our awareness drive. The mayor was so impressed by the design and the caption that he declared then and there to sponsor 4 billboards around the city. We have organized workshops to educate people on gender equality and legal rights of women. TOS Mahabharat Group Bhubaneswar strongly feels that every single woman deserves a smile. Another significant activity has been to institute Besant Selvas Service Award in the centennial year of Dr. Annie Besant's birth, that is 2008. The intention was to encourage and motivate people by placing before them these unique souls as role models who have gone beyond themselves in spite of their own hardships and miseries to reach out to the less fortunate people. 2008, Mr. Kailash Sarangi. Mr. Kailash Sarangi, a street vendor, is often seen helping poor and destitute patients in the hospital without any hesitation and expectation. Whoever needs him for service, he is there in no time. Even police need him while rescuing accident cases. He disposes the unclaimed dead bodies with due respect. Now he has formed an NGO called Sahaya, meaning support, with a group of like-minded young volunteers to provide service to more such people. 2009, Dr. Sagarika Mishra. Dr. Sagarika Mishra, the superintendent of the Adruta Children Home, though not married, mothers 200 destitute girls, children, who are either orphans or abandoned. She says that it is an humble effort to restore the identity of those who have lost their identities. Besides education, they are given special coaching for dance, music, painting, and meditation. Unconditional motherly love for these orphan girls has made her unique and worthy recipient of this prestigious award. 2010, Mr. Govind Patnaik was presented the Besan Selfless Service Award for services in the rescue and rehabilitation of hundreds of mentally ill women and for his exemplary work with women in distress. His area of social service include destitute women's mental health, helping the formation of self-help groups of poor, needy, and oppressed to attain improvement in their socio-economic condition through income-generating activities. Sister Lina. Brahma Kumari Rajajogini Sister Lina is a renowned spiritual teacher who shares her wisdom and deep knowledge of the science of spirituality. At the age of 17, she dedicated her life for the moral and spiritual upliftment of humanity. She is presently the zonal head of Brahma Kumari Aishwarya Vishwavidyalaya, Orissa chapter. She heals the pain of others through her compassionate look and words of wisdom without any discrimination of caste and creed, age and gender. Dr. Shruti Mahapatra. Dr. Shruti Mahapatra is a tireless crusader for the disabled, always at the forefront to secure a rightful place for the physically challenged in society. All this and more from a wheelchair. She was born a normal child, but at the age of 22, due to a car accident, her body below the waist got affected and she got confined to a wheelchair. Advocacy, networking, inclusive education, and information and dissemination are her tools. I would like to conclude by saying, from my own experience, that by looking within ourselves, we feel connected with every other, and that helps us reaching out to people in need unconditionally and selflessly. And this is what I understand by TOS, service spiritualized. Thank you for being with me.